Sadipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonodang Ganda Sambarayutena Dopenahang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyantang Puja Bhajana Mutamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang Etang Kusuma Santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Bhutang Kusumena Nena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patikan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patikan Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patikan Hatu Mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja of aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Gem. Bedang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then you can have half an hour meditation. We are off the light. Then in front of you is a Avijja Sutta, Sutta on Ignorance. It's a very good sutta. After that, I will go to you. Those who have studied or heard the Thursday class sharing, you will understand. Or if you have read the short notes, you would have understood. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, you just proceed. The instructions are very simple. You only need to train your mind in sati, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then when you allow the mind to be, everything will just settle down and return to its original state of stillness. And when the stillness or stability of mind, paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind become very stable, you can realize your true mind. While in the former meditation, everything will quiet down until the thought completely ceases, no more. Then you will experience a type of quietness within. Then after that, completely nothing. So that is your silent mind, meditative mind. So if you continue to stabilize it, you can develop the understanding of who you are, what you are, the essential, the mind, everything. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about maybe another 20 or minutes.
Thank you.
chance to meditate, you can continue. For those that are not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We'll do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. Let the universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sattamang Muni Rajasa Sudantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Sabanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Sabanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Sabanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa But iti peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vicca Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Bhutto Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pacyatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punya ketang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let's be respect Triple Gem. Vedang Pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. can be seated. Just relax body and mind. What about the cake? Need to put in the fridge or not? Huh, Stephanie? Yeah, need to put in the fridge or not? Huh? No need, huh? Okay. Okay. So, very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight is Tuesday, huh? 30th October, 2018. Tonight we will do the Abhijja Sutta. In front of you, you have one photostat copy of the Abhijja Sutta. This Abhijja Sutta is a very good and very important sutta. You all know the meaning of Abhijja. What is Abhijja? Yes, Abhijja means ignorant, the Pali word for ignorant. So this is the sutta on ignorance that the Buddha spoke. He explained how ignorance comes to be. There are two sequences. The first is the avijja sequence, means the ignorance sequence. How this ignorance sequence comes to be. How living beings get themselves entangled and become heedless. And most living beings, they go through this ignorance cycle. That's the reason why they cannot develop the wisdom. They can't even develop the meditative mind. So there is no way they can meditate. That's the reason why if you understand this sutta, it is going to help you. Then the other sequence is the enlightenment sequence. When you already know how to develop the meditation, then you look at the enlightenment sequence, that is a good check. A very good check for you to understand whether you are on the right track or not. Whether you have been doing the meditation correctly or not. Okay. Abhijja Sutta. So you look at the chart. On one side is the Abhijja sequence. On the right hand side is the enlightenment sequence. So basically, the Abhijja Sutta explains very clearly to the cultivator how you get yourself entangled. Then when you are on the right path, when you are cultivating correctly, you will go through the enlightenment sequence. So I will read to you all the sutta first. At the bottom of the first page, you have the Abhijja Sutta, the last paragraph. This Abhijja Sutta explains clearly the importance of having true noble friends as kayanamitas to realize the enlightenment. That's the reason why I came out with this, my kayanamitas, the setting up of the whole thing. Now you understand why I used to share with you. I don't want to use any society's name. Or I don't want to use anything to describe what our group is all about. We are just Dhamma friends. And that is the basis of cultivation. The Buddha introduced this noble idea. That's why in our BrotherTeo.com or my Karimita BrotherTeo.com, you go into our website, you go and read the section about us, you will understand how it all started. So the Buddha called it noble friends. Noble friends. Noble friends are Karimita or Dhamma friends who have the Dhamma. So he told Ananda, he said, noble friends is 100% of the holy life. That shows the importance of having good kayamitas, true kayamitas, especially those who have the Dhamma. So I will read through and hopefully after that you can have better understanding. According to the Buddha, having noble friends as our kayamita is one of the prerequisites to become an Arya or an enlightened being. It also talks about factors that will influence ignorance. To be free from ignorance, one of the main tasks in our cultivation is, to be free from ignorance is one of the main tasks in our cultivation. So you have to understand how you can be free from ignorance. So having Dhamma friends, or spiritual friends, or noble friends, they are all called kayanamitas. It's a prerequisite for this task. Hence the importance of kayanamitaship. So the word Dhamma, you know, is the teaching of the Buddha. Mita is friend. So Dhamma friends are cultivator or practitioner or devotee who walk the path of Dhamma to develop the understanding of the Dhamma to become enlightened so that it can help transform them personality-wise, character-wise, wisdom-wise to become a better person. And if you can really understand the teaching, if you can awaken to it, you can become enlightened too. So it will transform your life completely and you will become an enlightened being, free of all suffering. That's the beauty of this teaching. And to do that, you must have noble friends or Dhamma friends. Turn to the next page. There are two sequences discussed in this sutta. Each of the factors in both sequences have its nutriment. You know what is nutriment, isn't it? It comes from the word nutrition. What is nutrition? It's the food that helps to improve your health, isn't it? It's nutritious food, isn't it? But sometimes, if it feed you to become negative, they also use the word nutriment. Because it feed on something. So this word is being used. The English word nutriment is, I think, very appropriate. So for the ignorance cycle, the first link, the nutriment for ignorance is what? What is the cause of ignorance? What do you feed on when you are deluded? The five mental hindrance. Well, when you are deluded means you are heedless, isn't it? True or not? You don't have right view. You don't understand truth. You don't know what life is all about. You don't even know who you are, what you are. So how can you live life? If you don't even know who are you, what are you, then who is living your life? You are completely heedless, deluded. You don't know what is going on. That's why you simply do things. You simply arise your action, speech and thought process, and you simply interact and maybe bulldoze your way through life. You do what you like. That's why they call this type of people heedless. Means you couldn't be careless. You don't care because you don't understand. And through ignorance, you think you are very, very special. Then you become very egoic, very violent, very authoritative, selfish. You want to take advantage of people. That's why when you have this type of avijja, it's the most dangerous thing to have. It brings about downfall, karmic negativity, suffering, misery, and all these things. So avijja will lead to heedless living. And heedless living has a lot of mental hindrance. The reason why you have these five mental hindrances is because these are the mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner mindfulness. Prevent your mind from having the meditative mind of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Then you lack clarity. You lack the silent mind to understand what is going on. Yeah. Come. Adeline, yeah. You can move forward. Yeah. Sit anyway. Yeah. And the reason why the five mental hindrances are active is because of your wrong view, your lack of wisdom. And this lack of wisdom comes from not understanding the Dhamma. And when you don't understand the Dhamma, you become deluded. Yeah. So all these are interrelated. Yeah. Then under the Buddha's teaching, he said, there are opposite five mental states, or he called it the spiritual faculties, that are essential to eradicate the five mental hindrances. If you have this opposite five spiritual faculty, then the mental hindrance will be rooted out. That's why you must have the spiritual faculty or special mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Yeah. When you have them, it will root out the five mental hindrances. That's why in meditation, when the mental hindrances are there, don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't control it, don't do anything to it. Just allow it to be. Just understand. The reason why you have the hindrance is because of your avijja, ignorance. And ignorance come about because you don't have the five spiritual faculties. So the first training is just to build up the spiritual faculty, so that you can understand the spiritual teaching. Otherwise, you cannot start. That's why spiritual faculty is very important. That's the reason why the Buddha actually advised all the cultivator, the monk, the devotee, to start cultivating spiritual faculty. And how do you cultivate spiritual faculty? The five spiritual faculties are what? Eh? What are the five spiritual faculties? Ah, come, quickly. Somebody write on the whiteboard. I don't want to write. Every time I write, you all don't learn. Ah, Chui, come. First one is what? Saddha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Yeah. Saddha. Second one? Ah, Virya. Spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity. Yeah. To cultivate this way. But after you know who the Buddha is, how special the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, then you arise this spiritual zeal to cultivate. It will push you. It's an energy. It's not right effort. Eh? It's an energy, spiritual zeal, tenacity to walk this way. And because it drives you, you will develop the third spiritual faculty. What is it? What is the third spiritual faculty? Ah, sati, mindfulness. This is what you need. Without mindfulness, you are as if dead. For mindfulness is life. Without mindfulness, you are not aware. You are heedless. You cannot be ever mindful. Then if you stabilize sati, it will accumulate into the fourth spiritual faculty. What is it? Ah, samadhi. And what is samadhi? Samadhi is a state of mind that is unwavering and collected. Chui, you write in bracket, unwavering and collected. The unwavering and collected mind. Very good. Well, your writing is good. Saddha spelling wrong. S-A-D-D-H-A. H-A. Saddha. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, very good. Then the last one is, of course, wisdom. Panya. Panya. So these five spiritual faculties are very important. And how do we cultivate them? the faith, how do you do it? You do it through devotion, isn't it? That's why we have our puja, our devotional practice, cultivation. That's why every session the Buddha recommend the Buddhist devotional practice. That's why we do the respect followed by the chanting. Thanks, actually. You pay respect, you develop meritorious action, then you do your chanting. And your chanting is to develop the faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's why you chant the salutation to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then you take refuge in the Triple Gem so that you know what this Triple Gem is all about. And Triple Gem is very important. Without the Triple Gem, you can't find the Dhamma. So the Triple Gem is basically the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. So devotional practice will give rise to this condition for you to cultivate the Saddha. Then when you understand, like I explained, who the Buddha is, how special he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. He has completed the entire cultivation of the 10 perfection. That's why he is a very unique being. You can say at the time when the Buddha arises, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born on this planet or in this entire universe. And to have such a being as your teacher, as your guide, you should have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. You will count your good blessing for you to have the condition to be born during the Buddha Sasana and able to be exposed to his teaching, able to receive this type of teaching and put it into practice. And this will drive you. That's why Saddha will lead to Virya. Then when that very strong spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate his teaching, to understand his teaching, this will drive you to cultivate the important spiritual faculty of sati. That's why you will train your mind to develop sati or mindfulness. That's why all meditation, if it's the correct meditation as taught by the Buddha, will lead to the training of the mind to have this sati or mindfulness. If you do the concentration, the focusing, then it is not the teaching of the Buddha. Everything the Buddha teaches on mindfulness, you know, anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath, is that training. Then after that, you will go to the mindfulness of the four posture. Then mindfulness of all action and all movement in the present moment, which is daily mindfulness. So all these are mindfulness training. Then the four foundation of mindfulness is also mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot start. Without mindfulness, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. Without mindfulness, you cannot be ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, the four foundation of mindfulness, to exercise sense restraint. Everything you cannot do. So without mindfulness, you become heedless. That's the reason why the ignorant cycle starts with the five mental hindrances. So five mental hindrances, now we need chui again. The five mental hindrances. These five, you will understand, is very easy for you to recall. Because for most people, you will have them. The first two is what? Five mental hindrances. The first two is one pair. Sensual desire and ill will. Yes. Because this one is every day. When you are not mindful, you don't have yoniso manasikara. You will react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. That's how you become heedless. Your reaction is always like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So sensual desire, you will... Oh, no, no. Separate. These two are one and two. Of course, it's a pair, but it's two sensual... sensual desire, you will are two mental hindrances. So these two is a pair. We call it the duality. The duality. So when you react to sense experience, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, the positive and the negative will arise, and they belong to the evil roots of greed and hatred, if you understand. That's why it's a mental hindrance. So in every moment in life, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel and think, you create mental hindrance. What will happen to you? It will become a habitual tendency there. That every moment, almost non-stop now, you are creating mental hindrance. So I ask you one question. If the mental hindrance are there all the time, how can you be peaceful? How can you be in the meditative state to have mindfulness, to be aware, to develop the daily mindfulness? No way. That's why mental hindrance will make you heedless straight away. And the ignorant people having heedlessness are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this is a very, very powerful and important understanding that the Buddha actually talked about. So do not be heedless. Then the third one is what? The third mental hindrance is what? Sloth and torpor. Very good. This is a lethargic mind. Sloth and torpor. Lethargic mind. Or sleepy mind. The mind that is actually very dull. So when you have that state, you cannot use that mind. It will make you lazy, sleepy. And you slough off. That's why they call sloth and torpor. You slough off. Understand? Then you become like very dull, your mind state. So this is because you lack the spiritual faculty of virya. You don't have the spiritual zeal or the determination to go and develop the cultivation. It's just like in the school or any lecture you go. If you don't like the subject, what happens? You cannot concentrate, you cannot focus, because you don't like, or you don't understand the topic. You feel sleepy inside there. You cannot pay attention. And that is the mental hindrance. So in life, when you don't see the importance of that training, developing the understanding of the Dhamma, or listening to the Dhamma, to straighten your view, to develop the Yoniso Manasikara, you will have this mental hindrance of sloth and torpor. Then the fourth one is very common. What is it? Restlessness of mind. You know what is restlessness of mind? Why do you become restless? Why do you become restless? Okay, one of them is very good. Like Queenie say, too many things to think. But it's a lot more than that. If you got too many things to think, your restlessness is not bad, actually. Tolerable, that one. People who have what? Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That is the worst. When they have that, their mind cannot settle down. And deep inside, there is a lot of fear. Yes, I fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation kills you. Physically and mentally. So this four mental hindrance, do you know how it arises or not? The main reason is when you don't keep your precepts. You understand? When you don't keep your precepts means what? You kill, you harm, you steal, misappropriate. When people come to know, how? People come after you, understand? The law come after you. And now, our new Malaysia, Tun M, our PM, very good. We go by the rule of? Rule of what? Ah, Lord. Ah. So you go by rule of law, all these people who steal money, yeah, who do all this killing, murder, and all those things, I tell you, they will have a lot of restlessness. Correct or not? They worry a lot. Sleepless night. That's why don't do all these things. It's not worth the while. So this is the result of people who are deluded, who break the precept because they don't see the importance of precepts. Whatever you do people come back to you. You reap what you sow. That's why this topic, law of karma, that we have been going through on the Tuesday class is very important. Come, I heard your car break down, Polian. Never mind. No, you park my house in front here, nobody. Oh, look, yeah, Bestar. Okay, go. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, thank you. So, see, people got such interest, they even come and inform you. Maybe jump start her car engine. Actually, the moment she stopped the car, we got to go and push her. Jumper, or you got to go and push her. Automatic car can push her. You sure cannot? You go into second gear, cannot? Or third gear? Yeah, drive lah. You go into drive, cannot. You go into drive, then you push up. Your gearbox get into trouble. Well, it's not manual. I don't know. I haven't tried. I thought you all must have tried. Never mind. The last one is what? Last mental hindrance. So who are the people who have doubt? Who are the people who have this mental hindrance called doubt? Okay, the first question may be, what is doubt? You are doubtful about what? Let's say you don't know the Dhamma. Then, first time you hear the teaching, the Buddha say doubt is a mental hindrance. Doubt means what? You lack? What do you lack? Faith, isn't it? That's why when you lack faith, you will doubt. That's how doubt come to be. So, how does doubt come about? Because you don't have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. And the reason why you don't have that is you don't go and listen to his Dhamma, understand? No? Do you understand? If you listen to his Dhamma, then that Dhamma that you listen actually has very beautiful teachings that can change the way you live your life and can bring about great transformation in your life for the better. Then what are you waiting? True or not? Then your faith in the Buddha and his teaching is very strong. It stand up to investigation, his teaching. And his teaching, you can actually see it in life as you meditate and cultivate. His teaching is truth. A truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. That's why your daily life, your daily mindfulness, when you develop it, you will see all his teaching, the essential Dhamma, coming out, falling into place. And really, you can be transformed, become enlightened. That's why this doubt come about because you didn't have a chance to listen to the Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha. And who are the people who cannot find this teaching? Yeah? When you don't have friends who tell you that there is such teaching, isn't it? And these people who know got such teaching are mainly Dhamma friends, understand? Who walk the path of Dhamma. That's why Dhamma friend is very important. Without Dhamma friend, the mental hindrance will be there. Okay, thank you so much, Chui. Sadhu, your writing is good. Number three, sati, no hation. Sati don't have hation. our Pali word, the third one, spiritual faculty. Sati without hation. Virya is also wrong. V-I-R-I-Y-A. Virya. Yeah, you learn. If you don't write, you don't learn. Good. Very good. Okay, sadhu. Thank you. So now you understand how mental hindrance come to be. So what is the nutriment for mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance? You go to the third one. The nutriment for ignorance or avijja is the five mental hindrance. Pancha nivaranas. Pancha is five. And the nutriment for this is what? The three way of bad conduct. Correct or not? When you got evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, you arise what? Mental hindrance. Understand? You break all the precept. You are heedless. That's why the three way of bad conduct. Mind, body and speech. And because of the three evil roots. Wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong thought process. And the nutriment for the three ways of bad conduct are? What is it? Read. It's in the Avijja Sutta. Unrestrained of the sense faculty. True or not? When you don't have sense restraint, you will react, isn't it? Correct or not? When you see something you don't like, you get angry, isn't it? Then when you see something that is luring, you become lustful, isn't it? True or not? Or when you see somebody you don't like, straight away the memory recall what he has done to you, then the dislike, the unpleasant feeling, they arise. So the inability to restrain your senses is the cause of the three way of bad conduct. So unrestraint of the sense faculties are very, very dangerous. And how do you develop the nutriment for the restraint of the six sense faculty? And what is the cause of the unrestraint? You are not able to restrain your sense faculty. The nutriment for it is what? Hey, read. It's down there. You lack mindfulness and clear comprehension. That's the reason why under Satipatthana Sutta, the first category of practice, Kayanupassana, this is the third practice under Kayanupassana. Kayanupassana got, I think, six practices. This is the third one. First is Anapanasati, then mindfulness of the four posture. Then the third practice is sati sambhajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. That's why the Buddha says standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, stretching, turning aware, walking aware, putting on your shoulder cloth, that is for monk, for you all is your dresses aware. Answering nature's call away. Every action, every movement in the present moment away. If you don't do this mindfulness training, daily mindfulness, if you are not able to be mindful throughout the day, means ever mindful, leading to heedfulness, you are as if dead. Where the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead, and you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance means spiritually you are as if dead. So when you cultivate this sati sambhajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension, daily mindfulness until very stable, do you know what will happen? Your mindfulness becomes so different. You are able to be aware of your mental intention, mental states. When you react, stir, and move your mind, you are fully aware. That's why you can deal with it. And you are able to restrain the sense, the senses. Yeah. Means your sense experience, at the moment of sense experience, you will have the mindfulness to see all this. Then you apply the four right effort. What are the four right effort? When the first right effort is what? Right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong action or wrong speech that has arisen. Understand not? These are defilement. When the defilement has arisen, you must arise the first right effort to abandon it. And how to abandon it? The five ways that the Buddha taught. Meditative way. And this is very, very direct and very clear in the teaching. But people don't understand. That's why they don't go through the Avijja Sutta. They are interested in what? Vipassana. They want to see the inside knowledge. That's why they straight away go and attend retreat and do all those things without understanding. The real cultivation is different. After we finish, I will explain to you. Yeah? So the Buddha said, the lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension, or asati and asampajana, is the cause of the lack of sense restraint. Then, the nutriment for the lack of mindfulness is what? When you don't have yoniso manasikara, when you have unwise consideration or unwise attention at the moment of sense experience, means without the initial wisdom. Yeah. And the nutriment for the lack of unwise attention or consideration is the lack of faith in the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Yeah. And the reason for the lack of faith in the Triple Gem is not listening to the true Dhamma. Then the reason for not listening to the true Dhamma is because you do not associate with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friends or Kayanamita. So everything starts from having noble friends, Dhamma friends, and true spiritual friends. That's why the Kayanamita ship that I started is for this purpose. That's the reason why the Kayanamita force can progress so fast, it can be so powerful, so strong, because this is building up our annual Kayanamita gathering. It's an occasion for you all to interact, so that you can share and exchange experiences. Then you can motivate, counsel, and encourage each other to develop the practice, the training, and all those things. Yeah. And Kayanamitas are very sincere people. When we walk the path of Dhamma, we have certain very beautiful attributes. We keep the precept. We determine to understand the Buddha's essential Dhamma, all those essential Dhamma that they have gone through with you, with true understanding. Yeah. We understand why we need to keep the precepts. We know how it originated. It all started with right view, law of karma. When you have right view with regards to law of karma, you will know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Dhammapada verse 183. And to avoid all evil, the Buddha prescribed you keep the precepts. Well, those who violate the precepts commit the major evils. The five precepts are very, very basic and very powerful, very important. You cannot violate them because they are the basis for sila, restraint of the sense faculty, not to break the precept. Because when you break the precept, you commit evil, major evils. That's why precepts are laid down so that you will not commit the major evils. Then to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, you need to cultivate noble evil power. That's why all these are in his teaching. So if you listen to the Dhamma, because you have Dhamma friend that encourage you. And for us, we are already able to fulfill the first three. The first one is what? You have good Dhamma friends, isn't it? Correct or not? So, because of that, you come to classes, isn't it? You are able to listen to the Dhamma. Then what do you do after listening to the Dhamma? You straighten your view, isn't it? You reflect, isn't it? You contemplate on what you have studied, isn't it? So that is the second turning wisdom, Cintamayapanya. First turning wisdom, Sutamayapanya, is you listen to the teaching. That's why this first two turning, I always tell you, are the initial wisdom, will prepare you to receive truth from the third turning. And the third turning is very penetrative because it is wisdom born of bhavana. Bhavana is the meditative training. That's why it's called bhavana mayapanya. But the first turning is sutta mayapanya, means wisdom born of hearing the sutta. The second turning wisdom is chinta mayapanya, wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the teaching as taught by the Buddha. That's how yoniso manasikara come to be. So what you have been doing, the first three you already comply. Yeah? We go to the enlightenment sequence so that you can understand. Yeah? So the enlightenment sequence starts with number 10. Yeah? Association with good Dhamma friends or spiritual friends or having good kayanamitas. This one you all already fulfill. Then listening to the true Dhamma, you all also fulfill. Then after that, you're supposed to develop what? Yeah? Faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, which I think most of you have, isn't it? By now, you have faith or not in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha? Wow. If by now you still doubt, susalo. So when you listen to the Dhamma, you straighten your view, you develop what? The initial wisdom, isn't it? First turning, second wisdom. First turning and second turning. Then when you have the faith, you progress very fast. Because the faith will drive you to cultivate the second spiritual faculty, which is virya. And when virya arises, it will bring forth the condition for you to cultivate sati and samadhi. Then wisdom will arise. And this is how the spiritual faculty help you to develop the initial wisdom. That's why after you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, you will have the initial wisdom developed. Means yoniso manasikara. Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. That's the reason why last time I used to tell you all, wisdom you cannot learn from somebody. Or somebody cannot give it to you. You have to awaken to it. You have to realize it yourself. You have to understand it yourself. So when you listen to the Dhamma, you reflect, you contemplate, then you get the initial wisdom. So this initial wisdom, if you don't have your past cultivation, is not penetrative enough. You cannot awaken. You cannot become enlightened yet. But if you have cultivated before in your past life, like Huining, or even the disciple of the Buddha, like Asaji, Sariputta. Yeah. The moment he hear Asaji mention two stanza, he become a sotapan. That is just listening, isn't it? Yeah. Then Kondanya also same. When the Buddha expounded the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon. Before the sutta end, he became a sutapan. And that is through hearing. Then, use the mic for the recording. Yeah? Pastor Yun Chan. Yeah? Yeah. I think now I have a sit closer because we can discuss it.
Together with Buddha. What are the five aspects?
Yeah, but apart from that, you remember how that condition came about or not? Long, long time ago when the Bodhisattva was cultivating what? Yeah? Kanti. Not just. He was cultivating patience. You remember? The king of Kaliga came with the concubine and all those things. He went hunting. Then they call it the Kui Fei, the concubine. So they were playing around near, because the king go for hunting in the forest area. So they choose a place to actually play. Then one of the concubine saw the Bodhisattva, very cute, with a lot of hair, long hair. Then like initially, of course, fear, don't know what animal is it. Then he realized it was a man. Then he went about to look. Then he realized this person is very nice, not the wow type. Then he asked, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm meditating. I'm cultivating the perfection of patience, kanti." Then she got very excited. She continued to talk to the ascetic. Then he said, "You wait, I call my sister." So the group become bigger and bigger. So the word spread, understand? Then when the king came back, all the concubine not around. So he asked the general, he said, "Where the hell are they? What happened?" He said, "They were attracted to one ascetic." So they were having fun, asking the ascetic question and all those things. Then the king came to know that this ascetic practiced patience. So the king thought he wanted to teach this ascetic a lesson. Then he came, then everybody, of course, panic, the concubine. So they all pay their respect. Then the king talked to the ascetic. "I was told you are a cultivator. Meditate. You are practicing patience. So I want to see how good your practice is." And you know what he told the ascetic? "I am going to tie you up. Two hands, two legs, to four horses. And I'm going to command the horses to tear you apart. To see whether you have patience or not." So we all Mandarin got what? Si ma fen si, you heard of it? Four horses break your physical body. But the Cantonese one very good. Si ma fen si. So the Bodhisattva, instead of having fear or what, he smiled to the king. He said, "Yeah, you can." He said, "Thank you so much for doing that." Is it? "Because it will help me perfect my, what he called, his perfection of kanti." And you know what happened? The king really tied him up and asked the horses to pull it apart. Then he told the king, he said, "If I have perfected it, if I don't have the slightest anger or suffering, when you do it, all my limbs will come back to me." He told the king. The king don't believe. So he went ahead and do it. And because the Bodhisattva at that time, he already actually perfected it. He made the aspiration. That's why when he told the king, he said, "If I have perfected," it means by the power of that truth, understand now. "If when you tear me apart with the four horses, I don't have any anger or suffering, then my limbs will come back to me." And the pure wish really came true. The limb came back. And nothing happened to him. Despite having the blood all over. But the limb came back and he became the ascetic again. The king panicked. Straight away came down from the horse and pay respect to him. Then he said, "Don't worry, O king, don't worry," he said, "because of what you have done, I vow to take you across. You will be the first to be taken across when I become a Sammasambuddha." That's why he became Kondanya that life. Not to say he practiced with the Bodhisattva together. That life, yes, they all were together. But before that, he was the king of Koliga in that life. And you can say, blessing in disguise, you do this to an ascetic who already perfected himself, you know, and he's a Bodhisattva, you know, so advanced in his cultivation, and you did that to him. You know what type of karma is there? But luckily he got the perfection and the vow, pop, the whole thing come back. So he didn't really cause any suffering to the Bodhisattva, you understand? That's why there is no real karma, understand? And it become a blessing because he actually has the condition to help the Bodhisattva fulfill his perfection. Yeah. That's why all this is karma. You can never understand unless you have that type of cultivation. So that is the reason why Kondanya, they all can have that type of condition to listen to the Dhamma, first turning, become enlightened, Sotapan. So we are talking about first turning and second turning, wisdom. So if you have not cultivated in from the past, this life you come, you listen, it will give you some wisdom, some understanding. First turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta. Then you reflect, you contemplate, it stabilizes it. Second turning. But it's not penetrative enough. It will not awaken you because it is not a meditative wisdom. But when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, meditative, ever mindful and all those things, then you awaken. That is Bhavanamaya Panya, the turning wisdom. Wisdom born of the meditative training. When you do the four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment will arise. That's how you become enlightened. So this first and second turning wisdom is what you need for you to arise the yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom. Then later on, when you realize the enlightenment, this wisdom, the real wisdom born of the third turning, will come back and make the yoniso manasikara different. Then during that time, this yoniso manasikara is not the initial wisdom anymore. It's already the wisdom. That's why at that time, that cultivator, he no need samadhi to make his mind unwavering, collected. You understand? At the moment of sense experience, whether he sees something, hears something, smells something, tastes something, tactile feel or think of something, there is this last factor of enlightenment called upeka, equanimity of mind. That one is born of wisdom. That's why during that time, he don't need samadhi. He don't need a collected mind to remain peaceful, to remain aware, silent. The wisdom will make him peaceful. That's why anywhere, any place, any time, he is always at peace. That type of peace is the real peace born of wisdom. We call it upadhi viveka. So there are three types of peace under the Buddha's teaching. The first type of peace is kaya viveka. Means the peace comes from renunciation. When you renounce everything that the physical body own, you renounce them. That's how you become monk. You go into kaya viveka, means physical seclusion. Then you go to a monastic place, which is conducive for meditation or cultivation. Means the place, the way place, the setting, the nature, everything is very conducive for mental training, for Dhamma training. But that type of peace is dependent on the environment, correct or not? When you are not in that environment, you are not peaceful. Understand? So the first type of peace, Kaya Vivika, is not really useful. But as an initial training, it's good. After that, you have to come out back into society to train. Otherwise, you cannot develop the enlightenment. Yeah. Then the second type of peace, which the Buddha teaches, Chitta Vivika, seclusion of mind. Seclusion of mind means what? Your mind gets secluded from all external things. That's why you meditate. You relax, you're silent, you just maintain awareness and stay with it. You don't come out. Yeah. This one, those who do jhana also can. They seclude their mind. That's why they are in that jhanic state. They become so peaceful, so calm. Yeah. But for us who develop the true vipassana, or what they call awareness-based meditation, your mind can also go into seclusion. It stay within, with your nature. No movement at all, still. If you want to come out, you want to know, you can know. You don't want to know, you just stay inside. Yeah. So that is Chitta Vivika. But Chitta Vivika, that type of peace, cannot live life. You understand? Every time you got to lie down in the form of meditation and stay inside, you cannot come out and interact with the world. That's why that type of peace is also limited. Yeah. But it's a good type of peace. Whenever you got problem, you go and meditate. Go into the formal meditation, silent, relax, away. Then everything will come back to its natural state. Or the true mind means the original state of mind before the stirring, before the reaction of mind, before the heedless thinking. So when you return to your original state, it is just away. It is just stillness, silent. Without anything inside there. So this type of seclusion is not the one with the wisdom. The last one, true enlightenment, Upadhi Viveka, is the real peace. That type of peace is not dependent on environment, not dependent on the other type of condition. It is only dependent on wisdom. So when there is wisdom, this mind is always at peace in the midst of life and nature, even modern society, traffic condition, busy city, no problem. It's still at peace. Yeah. That's why in the midst of activity, there can be silence. Yeah. Then in the midst of sound, there can be stillness. Because your nature is like that. Like when I speak and share, inside, no movement at all. Then when I am outside with the traffic, everything, inside is also still. I can be doing my activity, but inside is still, no movement. Then the senses can pick up whatever it is, vibration, in the midst of sound and vibration. There can be stillness inside. Your nature is still. It doesn't get interact. It doesn't get entangled. Yeah. It can accept whatever phenomena that arise. And it can be at peace with them because of the wisdom. So this is how meditation can bring forth all this understanding. Okay, I need to move a bit faster. So you have already developed the first three. I think most of you have the first three. Then the fourth one, Yoniso Manasikara Samkayamita, already have that. If you don't have this, your daily mindfulness cannot come out. You must have the initial wisdom. You know why or not? When you don't have the initial wisdom, you don't have the sense restraint. Because you cannot deal with sense experience. That's why from this faith in the Buddha and his teaching, means the triple gem, you will be able to develop this first and second turning initial wisdom, born of Suttamaya Panya and Cintamaya Panya. Then when they arise, because as you listen to the Dhamma, you develop the first turning wisdom. Then when you reflect and contemplate, you develop the second turning wisdom. Then you straighten your view. That's how Yoniso Manasikara come about. Means wise attention at the moment of sense. And when you have this, you can cultivate daily mindfulness very easily. Yeah. Because when you have this, your mind does not stir, does not react. It's no longer heedless like before. That's why when you have this clear comprehension together with what they call mindfulness develop, your mind become very different. You can see your mental intention. Then you know what to do. You can arise the four right effort. That's how you are able to give rise to sense restraint. So when you have clear comprehension and mindfulness develop, the next step that you are able to have is sense restraint. That's why the next one, number 5, is restraint of the sense faculty. Without the daily mindfulness, you don't have restraint for the sense faculty. So this daily mindfulness also need the yoniso manasikara. So when you have sense restraint, means you cannot break your precept anymore. You cannot arise the evil root anymore, because the four right effort will allow you to abandon the unwholesome thought that has arisen. Then later on, with the awareness and the wisdom, it can prevent it from arising. Just like what some of the Dhamma friends, like Alicia and even a few, they used to tell me, last time the defilement, very cunning, very deceiving, come back through the back door. But once they understand, they can see, they can be aware. Oh, they say, this defilement is coming again to deceive me. So straight away, disappear. Because they already understood, they won't be fooled again. But these are wrong thoughts that condition their suffering, their depression, their misery. And she has been stuck for 16 years earlier on. Then when she came out of it, it's just like Eric. Eric, they all. When they know that this is the wrong thought that torment them and make them miserable, the moment they aware, that thought ceases to be. Cannot arise. That's how the second right effort prevents it from arising. You can. You no need to do anything. The moment you understand, you see, the understanding will tell you, coming back to do the same thing again. But this time you are not deceived, you are not deluded. You won't go and think already. Yeah, these are wrong thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation and misery and your evil root. And you will never hold it anymore, understand? The moment when you understand, you are free. That's why I say wisdom free, the only thing that free you. Not the concentrated mind. You need wisdom to free. The moment you understand, it has no power over you. That's why I always say you have to reflect and contemplate until the Dhamma is very, very clear, until it's stabilized. Then when it's stabilized, the moment you see anything at the moment of sense experience or hear anything, smell, taste or tactile feel or thing, it got no more power over you. That's how cultivation is to be developed. Daily mindfulness leading to sense restraint. Then when you have sense restraint, the three types of right conduct or good conduct will be there. Means you never create evil root anymore. That's how you can develop the cultivation. Then after you have the three way of good conduct, then only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Because within the four foundation of mindfulness, you remember last time when we study the four foundation of mindfulness in our Sunday class? I remember that time Chui used to ask some very good question. And there is this statement that I always told in B also. Under the four foundation of mindfulness, they always say in the opening statement, after overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you cultivate mindfulness of kaya, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of citta, means content of consciousness, and mindfulness of dhamma. Means before you have the initial wisdom to enable you to overcome covetousness and grief, you cannot go into four foundations because you are not ready. So what is covetousness? Covetousness is all your life, your pleasant experience, your craving, your desire, things that you want to have, to own. That's why covetousness. So after overcoming covetousness, means you got this initial wisdom not to be deceived by all this sense experience. Otherwise, you cannot go into the four foundation of mind. The four foundation of mindfulness, your mindfulness has to be very stable. That's why it's after your daily mindfulness, then only you can do. That's why I say, not until you have developed the daily mindfulness and enable it to be very stable, the real meditation has not yet started. That's why the Buddha used ever mindful, constantly meditative. Dhammapada verse 23. If you are not ever mindful, means throughout the day, you are heedless. You understand? The moment you are not mindful, you are heedless. So if you don't have daily mindfulness, most of the time you are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. So how can you develop the meditation? No way. That's why these practices, a lot of people don't understand. And what do? Straight away go retreat to four foundation of mindfulness. They didn't even really listen to the Dhamma to understand the essential Dhamma. They didn't really develop the faith. You understand? Then they didn't really do the first turning, second turning wisdom. That's why under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha did mention, not until he as a Bodhisattva understood the Four Noble Truths in its three turning and 12 mode, he cannot proclaim to be the enlightened one. If the Buddha to be also had to go through the three turning, you think you're very special, you no need to go through the three turning. No way. That's why some of them they say, wow, I straight away can go into Cittanupassana. You go and do. You think that will take you to the real cultivation? You go and find out yourself. No way. Everywhere in the sutta is very clearly stated. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta say the three turning has to be done. Avijja Sutta say the yonisomanasikara, initial wisdom, born of first and second turning, has to be developed. Then after that only you can have the three way of right conduct. Then only you start your four foundation of mindfulness. Otherwise you are wasting your time because your mindfulness is not stable. Without a stable mindfulness and the initial wisdom, you cannot cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. No way. That's why he said, after overcoming covetousness and grief. If you can still be swayed by covetousness and grief and become unhappy or miserable, you are not ready to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Then after the four foundation of mindfulness, you will know you are on the right path. Why? Because the seven factors of enlightenment or sattabhujanga, they keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path. Yeah. And the seven factors of enlightenment will lead to enlightenment. That's why it will lead to true knowledge, vijja, leading to enlightenment. Yeah. So this Avijja Sutta is very important, very powerful. So you have to check on which stage are you. So like I say, as Kayamita, you are very lucky. Number 10, yeah, the first condition, having good Dhamma friend, you have plenty. Yeah? And listening to the Dhamma, you also have plenty. Understand? And we got so much of our activity tailored for Kayamitas. for you to listen to the Dhamma, to straighten your view, to develop the cultivation, the practice and all those things. Then after that, you all will have the faith in the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. Your faith will become unshakable when you put it to test, when it stands up to investigation. Then you straighten your view, develop the initial wisdom. And most Kayamita should be doing until mindfulness and clear comprehension. Understand? Your daily mindfulness, which is number 6. And most of you should be at this stage. If your daily mindfulness and clear comprehension is stable, completed, then you will have sense restraint. Then you are at least sotapan onward, I tell you, before even you do your satipatthana. Because the 3 way of good conduct, you cannot do it unless you have your sotapanna ship realization. You remember, as a sotapan, they cannot break their 5 precepts. You heard of this, isn't it? If you are already a sotapan, you cannot break your 5 precepts. You heard of this, isn't it? That's why the 3 way of good conduct is for somebody who cannot break the 5 precepts. Yeah. So the cultivation need to be understood, otherwise you cannot progress. Yeah. Then after that, by the time you hit the 4 foundation of mindfulness, actually you are already destined for enlightenment. We have the 4 foundation of mindfulness need the constant stability of mindfulness, which is your daily mindfulness. If your daily mindfulness and clear comprehension has been developed, your 4 foundation of mindfulness is very easy, I tell you. You will skim through it very fast, especially if you cultivate before. That's why when my nature came, I look at the sutta, I look at the teaching, nobody taught me. I understood what they are. Because in the early day, when I developed my cultivation, I realized without this Avijja Sutta, I was doing it this way. Nobody taught me. I realized, but one thing I have to tell you, like I told the Thursday class people, this life I come, I no need Kayamita to bring me to listen to the Dhamma. That is because of my past. I was very, very inquisitive when I was very young. I started in Form 4, 1971, when I know science, I understand geography, my mind broke. I like to lie down facing the sky, the night sky, and ask, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? Oh, I already inquired. That's why after that, I searched myself. I went to all the teaching. Yeah. Then the moment, 2 years later, one of the classmates' sister, he gave me one book, Kesri Dhammanas. I think the first edition. Buddhist, what Buddhists believe. Kesri Dhammanas. The moment I saw that book, straight away inside, tell me, no need to search already. That's it. Nobody can summarize all of his understanding into just 4 noble truths like that. And somehow 2,000 years ago, even my nature told me that if I had that type of understanding or that enlightenment or weak, I cannot summarize them into just 4 noble truths. Whoever that Sakyamuni Buddha is, he must be the real one. That's why deep inside my nature, no. And straight away, no more doubt from that moment onward. It go all out to cultivate. That's why I came to Brickfield. After that, I came to uni. The first day I met that Kesri Dhammananda, somebody took me there. It cannot be a coincidence. It's meant to be. The moment, because I reached the uni, first day, I was in first college. Then one of my engineering faculty classmate, I just met him that day. We check in the hotel. The first college. Then we had dinner, because same canteen. Then he asked me, Theo, you got anything to do or not tonight? I said, nothing, because I just came. Then I take you somewhere. And I don't know where he's taking me. And we walk until science faculty, the lecture hall. Then after that, I saw the monk came in. First time I saw a monk of bold, speak very good English. Wow, I was full of joy that I pay attention, listening to what he say. Then his Dhamma sharing was very good. Yeah? Very scientific. He know we are uni student. And he keep on pointing to the forehead here, the brain here. He said, look into your mind. Look into your... That time I don't know anything. I thought the mind was at the brain there. Actually, the mind is at your heart there. But never mind. Because he said that I was full of faith. Then when I saw his name, I remember that book that the classmate sister gave to me. It's the same author. That's why I was full of joy. I went and asked him where his temple is. Then he gave us the address and all. That's how I went to Brakefield. Then every week, a few days, he got Friday talk. He got Sunday Dhamma talk. Then sometime in between, got monks come. And I will attend all the talk. I do the recording of it. That's why I was listening to the Dhamma non-stop. And I got faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. That time very strong. Then after that, I did my own meditation. I straightened my view. I got the initial wisdom on my own. Then when I met my teacher, Ajahn Yantra, when he told me the highest meditation, I thought it was something special. But when he told me the highest meditation or the real meditation is we choose aware all action, all movement in the present moment. Then I got a shock. Just like that? The highest meditation, the real meditation. Then I checked. I hardly 5 minutes a day mindful, if I'm not in anapanasati. If I'm not in a conditioned state of mind. If I don't hold on to something. As a free mind, hardly aware. I realized the mind split second went off. When I don't try to hold it using concentration or anapanasati, continuous mindfulness. Means I need an object of meditation to make myself aware, peaceful. Then I realize I have yet to do the real meditation. That's why after that I determine to be mindful. Follow the Satipatthana. Then I remember what I read in the Satipatthana. That's why I link it up. Then I know daily mindfulness is very important. That's how I started. Then within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness came. Then after that, throughout the day, I was mindful. That's how it happened. And very fast. That time was 1988, I think. Then within not long, 1989, everything just happened. That's why I came to know this is how the cultivation need to be done. Without the daily mindfulness, you don't stand a chance. Without daily mindfulness, there is no sense restraint. And no sense restraint, you cannot cultivate the four-right effort to bring about the three-way of good conduct. Without the three-way of good conduct, you cannot overcome covetousness and grief. No way. That's why you cannot really develop the four foundations of mindfulness. And if you are not on the four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment cannot arise. That's why you don't stand a chance to be enlightened. That's why in the seven stages of purification, Satta Visuddhi, there is one purification where you have to go through the purification of path and non-path. That one you will know. If you are on the path, means what? The seven factors of enlightenment are there. You keep on seeing the factors of enlightenment arising. Means you know you are on the right path. But if you cultivate already, you only got energy, concentration, calmness, peacefulness, stillness and all those things. But you don't have the investigation of Dhamma. Pity maybe you will have. Then you don't have virya. You don't have pasati. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the free mind. Then you don't have upekha. You don't have samadhi. Means you are still far away. You are not doing the meditation correctly. If you are on the right path, the enlightenment factor keep on arising. And you keep on understanding. You keep on awakening. That's what meditation is all about. Okay. So, at least we end. The table, Chui, pass the mic to Chui. The table at the back is for you to remember easily, because it's in a chat form. Yeah, Chui.
Yes. Thank you very much for this very beautiful,
sutta,
summary of Avijja Sutta.
Yes.
I think it's so important.
Yes.
And because of that, I was wondering whether we could, at some point in time, have a reading, constant reading, because
it's
like
in
this,
our website.
Oh, I.
That's why you have to go in. It's in our website. The about there, I described the whole thing. Then I put this one in last year.
Did you have a discussion, a reading of the?
In my gathering of Kayamita, I read this a few times, but nobody paid attention.
But this is a summary. It is not the same as the original sutta.
No, the original sutta is like that.
Oh, like that.
Ah, just like that.
The second page.
The second page.
Yeah, because I will want to go through it.
Yes.
Avijja
Sutta.
And then thank you. I will go through it. The other thing is, you mentioned that to be a Sotapanna, you have to go through the three turnings.
Yes.
That means unless you go through all the three turnings.
No. If you have cultivated before, first turning, you can awaken. Kondanya first turning sudah jadi. Then Asaji spoke two stanza to Sariputta, he also become a Sotapanna.
So the point now for all of us here is we got a chance.
Not only chance, you already very near. Because you already have Dhamma friends, you listen to a Dhamma for so long already, your faith in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha already so strong. By now, you should have Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom. Most of you should have. Then after that, you only need to do the daily mindfulness.
Now, another question I want to ask. You said that the mind is in the heart. I have experienced that. Thank God. God.
The mind is not really inside the heart, understand?
Wait.
I explain. The mind, the seat of consciousness, you know what is seat or not? Not the S-E-E-D, S-E-A-D. E-A-T, sorry, A-T. Where you sit. Means where the powers of life arise. Your heartbeat there. That is where the seat of consciousness is. Where this is the place your karmic force send the life force to you, understand? That's why it caused the heart to pump the powers of life. And this is the one that gives rise to the consciousness. That's why when it pump, your blood receives the heart. The blood receives that powers of life, the consciousness from nature, which is your karmic form. And because it's in your blood, the scientists also know. That's why when we are mindful, aware, wherever our blood is, you can be aware of that place. You understand? Yeah. Then this blood with the consciousness has life force, energy. There's a blood transfusion, it works if it's the same, if it's not opposing. Understand? That's why you can transfuse blood. You can have organ transplant. No problem. Because the consciousness, the blood is there.
If I remember the sixth patriarch, somewhere in there it says the mind has no dwelling.
Yes.
What does that mean? If it's in the heart, where is it when he says the mind has no dwelling?
That's why you have to understand. Wait. You have to understand. There are two types of mind. Understand now? One is the mundane mind. The mundane mind dwells everywhere. Understand now? Where it perceives. When you perceive the Buddha image, it dwells there. Understand? When you perceive the hearing consciousness, it dwells there. But the silent mind, which is the true mind, does not dwell anywhere. He is talking about the true mind. That's why his teaching is what? The three unique characteristics of his teaching is what? No thought. Wu nian. Wu xiang. Wu zhu. So what is no thought? No thought is for you to realize your true mind. When you are without thought, you are just aware. And that is your true mind. But it has to be stabilized, otherwise you cannot realize it. then that true mind, before the perception come out, actually does not dwell. Understand now? But that true mind can allow you to see things as they are and awaken, to realize the wisdom. So once the wisdom is developed, you will understand the meaning of nomad. Nomad of a self-cultivating. Because this form of mind is not you. This form of mind is dependent originating. So through that wisdom, you will come to know. You don't exist. He know you, he know me. Then when you don't exist, no mark of a self cultivating, then there is also no mark of living beings to be saved. Yeah, yeah.
I try to see where it is when the mind is in the heart. I mean, the mind...
I understand your question. You want to ask that question. I understand your question. That's why I had to explain all this. Then only you can understand. But you are using the thought to understand no dwelling. How can you understand no dwelling with a thought? Understand? That's why I start by telling you there are two minds. Okay? The first is the mundane mind that dwells everywhere. That one cannot have the ability not to dwell. The second one is your true mind. Your true mind got no dwelling. Because it got no word, no concept, nothing. So how can it dwell? But that true mind need to develop wisdom in stages. That's why straight away Huineng's teaching take you to the true mind. He bypass all the thought-based meditation. That's why his teaching is very direct. Wu Nian. If you cannot do that, means you are not on the right path. That's why straight away you must develop sati. Stabilize it until you got no thought. That's why I teach you all to relax, silent, just aware. No need to do anything. The silent mind will come. Then when the silent mind comes, you stabilize it, then it develops samadhi, stability of silent mind. Yeah. Then you use that to meditate. Sati samadhi will see things as they are. There is unwavering, collected. At the moment of sense experience, this one does not stir, understand? Does not react because it's unwavering and collected because of the samadhi. So it can see things as they are, their reality. Then your brain, your memory, your views, opinion, and conditioning doesn't come in. Understand not? But it is the direct seeing. Means I see without the words, without the concept, without the views, the opinion. I see things as they are, like the baby see. Understand not? Seeing things as they are, no word, nothing, just that thing, the pure perception. So when you are able to do that, you can understand truth, the reality, means see things as they are, like the Buddha said. Then you can see how the phenomenal will create the universal characteristic. That's why from that direct seeing, you will awaken. Then you know this one that move and create is impermanent. Dependent originating, condition arising. You will understand. The nature will understand. Then you realize this one is not a permanent, unchanging entity. This is not real. If outside not real, inside also not real, that's why there is no mark of a self, no mark of others. That wisdom will come. Understand now? Then, by retrospective, you will know if there is no mark of a self, no mark of others, there is no mark of life. No mark of Dhamma. The phenomenal world is a world of consciousness, not real. That's why it's empty. Understand? So, when you have this understanding, when you penetrate, then you will realize that the third stage of enlightenment that Huineng talked about, no dwelling, is a special ability of the, not the sainthood way. Sainthood way cannot do it one. Only the Bodhisattva that has developed the Diamond Sutta type of wisdom, when they have gone through the Noma, then only they can have this ability of no dwelling. Well, by then, they would have reached the third or fourth stage of Bodhi mind development. The third stage of Bodhi mind development is the Bodhi mind that have realized the true nature. Understand? That is the first one. The third stage. Means you have gone beyond sainthood way, beyond arahant. You will not fall back. Right? Yeah, you have realized your true nature. Yeah. So that one they call Bodhi mind that illuminate your true nature. Yeah. Then after you have gone through that, you would have the Diamond Sutta teaching. You know everything not real. That's why the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development is called Bodhi mind development that can renounce samsara. You remember? The sixth patriarchy. Renounce samsara means what? By then, samsara to you, no more problem. You know why? Even the eons and eons and eons of cultivation is no more problem. But no reality. He know you, he know me. And time got no significance at all. Well, my make are they. That's why the fourth stage of Bodhi will enable you to perfect the ten perfection very fast. And you can really calm for whatever period of time. It's no more an issue. Because you have, under the third phase of Bodhi mind development, understood the Diamond Sutta teaching, you know that there is no mark of a self, no mark of all these things. Then the karmically conditioned form and mind, vehicle and tool, you know how to use. And it's so beautiful to use. Because when you have this nature, when you come, you connect very early. Like my nature, I come, I connect at the age of 35, 1989. That's why I have, since 89 until now, I have so many years of beautiful life, the noble life. Means 89, 99, 2009, 2019. Next year is 30 years already. I have 30 years of beautiful life. And even my first 35 years, the life is also beautiful. But before I connect, my karma take care of me. I like very lucky. Everything go my way. But after I connect, I inherit my spiritual understanding, everything. Then I was able to live that type of noble life. That's why the third phase of Dhamma, we call it Pativeda. Pativeda. First phase is learning the teaching, Pariyatti. Then you put it into practice, Patipatti. Then when you have the enlightenment or the awakening, means the fruit of your hard work, then you get to live the third phase of Dhamma, which is the life of the Noble One. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work. That is what Pativeda is all about. So what you are trying to ask is, how can the mind has no dwelling when I say the seat of consciousness is at the heart? Understand? The heart is where the life force comes. Understand? Your seat of consciousness sit here, where from here it starts. But there is a gateway either there or next to it. Understand? That you have to meditate and silence all your mind and stabilize everything, then only you can locate and go in. And that gateway is not a location. No. If because this form and mind come, then that gateway is somewhere near the heart there, towards the left. Yeah. So this gateway is the only way to connect to your nature. And you need a form and mind to have that gateway. No form and mind, no gateway. No form and mind, no coming to this existential world. You need a vehicle and a tool to come to this existential world. That's why you need a karmic nature that can condition the form and mind to come. But you are arahan beyond, you don't have ignorance, so how can you come? Because you don't take rebirth. So the bodhisattva understand that the vow can bring about a pure mind. That's why they vow, knowing that there is no living being to be saved, but they vow to save the limitless, countless living being in the entire universe. Why? That is love and compassion. Where within existential world, there is such thing as virtue, love and compassion. And this is without ignorance. These are pure mind state. That's why they can take birth with the pure mind state of love and compassion. That vow, together with the karmic nature which is still there, can condition a form of mind. That's why when they come, like my this life, when it come, it's not born of ignorance, not rebirth consciousness like normal Putujana. They come with a pure consciousness. That's why I remember, first 6 years, my mind was like blank, nothing. I still remember when I was young. You know, my father took some studio photo for me. When I look, I can understand what my mind state was then. And I went through that childhood life. I really got no thought on inside. Until my grandmother used to tell me one. He said, I thought you dumb, cannot talk on. Yeah, I never talk. And I was so cheerful. My parents liked me so much. The moment I'm born, my family was like so blessed. Do you know my father was a salesman? And I told you, he helped somebody sell 6 lottery tickets on, that time in Singapore. The social welfare lottery ticket. It came out second prize. And the commissioner was that time 5,000 ringgit. You know how much? It's a lot of money. Then that owner who let my father sell share with my father. So my father got 2,005. He got 2,005. Then he took that 2,005. He just take 200. He buy a shop lot in Arusta. That time the money was very big. Very big. That time, one relong of plantation land, less than 100 ringgit. Almost 3/4 acres. One shop lot, 200 ringgit only. And that time, my father told me 1 cent can buy things. During our time, we need 5 cents. You need 20 cents. I got 10 cents to go to school only, until statistics. A bowl of me. I only buy the chabi hun and chami 5 cents. My asam laksa, small one, also 5 cents that time. Yeah. Maybe better end. Yeah. So thank you for your good question, Chui. Okay. Let us share merits. Akasata cha bomata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa sirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata cam ehi sampadan punya sampadan sape dewa anumodantu sabasampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones. Then we end.